We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping.
I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Cats host Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, and more in Big Ten play. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. And Transition is being brought to you by the fine folks over at Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, I can tell you from firsthand experience, Amy and her team will treat you really, really well. Speaking of people who will treat you really, really well, Parkins and Spiegel are here.
It's because we love you.
That's what they say about us.
Yep.
That's what I read on the interwebs yesterday.
Treat everyone great. We treated everyone fine.
I read that, and I read that Danny is a bad guy, and his vote should be taken away.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely true.
Lawrence. Reading. Reading a skill.
Or listening, even.
Yeah, or listening, even. It was. I didn't mute all mentions. I was able to hold that off and just put the phone away for a while to try to let it die down, but... Even this morning, someone came in and said it was a disgrace that I had an MVP vote. It's like, I know.
So this is never going to stop, by the way.
Apparently not.
And the reason that I know that is because, you know, one of my best friends is Ben Bradley from Channel 9. We grew up together. We went to high school together.
Part of the Homewood Flossmoore Mafia.
Yes.
You two, Benetti and...
Chuck Garfine. Paul Sullivan.
Keep
Amanda
going.
Amanda Kashubi. Tyra Martin. I mean, we're...
Merkin.
Randy and Scott Merkin.
Oh boy,
yeah, like we are legion.
How about Rodney?
We are everywhere.
Rodney Harrison?
No, he went to Marion.
Damn it, I blew it.
But Sade Gray is back in town, and she's an HF.
Connor McKnight.
Not him. Not Connor McDoyne.
Ed Farmer.
No, St. Rita.
Oh, okay.
But
so close.
He did always want to talk to me about the Paris that I grew up in for grammar school. But yes. Anyway, everyone thinks that he's the British guy, Ben Bradley, like the British lawmaker. So he gets stuff all the time about Brexit.
Oh, right. That's hilarious.
Right.
I always think
that's
he
tough.
Was, I always think Ben Bradley was
the newsman,
the former editor of the Washington
right.
Post.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason Robards and All the President's Men. One of the great.
It's a common name,
yeah.
Right?
You know, Ben like Bradley?
Ben Bradley. Like if you're Jason Smith, there's a lot of you out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess. My blue check mark being associated with the hub controversy to end all controversies. I can't think of a bigger controversy.
I bought mattspiegel.com years ago from a guy
from
in New York.
Matt Spiegel?
From another Matt Spiegel in New York. And it wasn't the famed Yale mathematics professor, Matt Spiegel, which is another. So I'm in the top three Matt Spiegels.
There's a disc golfer who is...
Danny
average.
Parkins?
Yeah, who's Danny Parkins. And he's okay.
At disc golf.
And he plays in some tournaments in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Oh, that's hot.
And one time I got Venmo'd his third place prize winnings. $70.
I was going to say, can you report on the size of third place prize winnings for Mid-Atlantic disc golf?
And I got this email that was like frantic. Like, Mr. Parkins, we apologize for the confusion, but we have apparently mistaken
you for the, and you're like,
you please find it within your heart to return the $70? I was like,
sure.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's like a no. I can give you this $70 back.
Yeah, not a problem.
What's the number where you would have fought them?
Oh, I mean, see, because if it's too big of a number, though.
Is it $1,000?
I think you maybe make them send a second email at $1,000.
Is it $5,000?
No, I see. I think if it gets to be that big of a number,
then it just feels really wrong.
Then it feels really like you're exactly. I don't know. It was the perfect number.
What if he wins the disc championship and he gets a cool $25,000 and sent it's a Danny Parkins Venmo?
Then you play dumb.
Yeah, then I think you just go silent and they've got to find you somewhere else.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Not that I'm not the easiest person in the world to find.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Instagram, Twitter.
Cash in and delete your Venmo.
Exactly.
How about this? I will return the $70, but I need a guided round at your disc golf facility.
There you go.
I like that.
Next time I'm in town.
Or he's got to beat me for it.
Right. Exactly. I sent back, I was like,
disc golf lessons at your facility for me and my family.
I was like, I said, of course, no problem. Honest mistake. I'm a huge fan of the MPDGA.
Long time fan.
Huge fan.
Can you gamble on that?
Not yet, but I know Bet Rivers is working on it.
Please tell me that they sent you like a T-shirt or a bumper sticker.
Nothing.
How dare they?
It was the end of our correspondence.
That's a missed opportunity. Missed opportunity by them.
Oh man, that's whack.
Yeah. But that guy, we've interacted now twice because the first time was when I got his prize winnings, and the second time was when I signed up for Instagram and I tried to get Danny Parkins on Instagram, and it's just a dude who disc golfs, and so I have Danny Parkins 1 on Instagram.
So you're running into the same thing that the bodybuilder Jay Cutler runs into.
That's right. It's funny that it's a bodybuilder Jay Cutler, because my buddy Nick Wright, there's a bodybuilder Nick Wright. Mm. So the Google image search can be a little misleading.
Maybe if you're a bodybuilder, the best game plan is to take some, you know, a B-list sports celebrity.
Yeah. And go right to
and go doppelganger on him.
Yeah, but it's not, because I would imagine it'd be tough to have Ben Bradley, Jason Smith, Matt Jones. You know, there's just so
Jay Zalawski.
Yeah, that's a fine one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just so many of them out there. But is Jerry Sandusky the toughest one? The Ravens play-by-play guy?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I give him a lot of credit because I thought the easiest thing in the world for him to do would just be like, I'm Jerry Sands now. Like, that would have been the easiest thing. But he powered through that.
He spells it differently.
He persevered.
He's got a G in there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but that speaks.
That's not enough.
For the internet?
Yeah.
For reading? For humans? No.
I'm curious whether I could gamble on disc golf or not. I remember during the height of the pandemic when people were looking desperately for something to gamble on.
And gambling on marbles.
Gambling on marbles, yes. From Marble Run, that was happening. And that was pretty cool. I got into that and was watching that. There was also some obscure Russian ping pong association.
Yes.
That, and I remember the New York Times article about that. People had found their way to the Russian ping pong association, and because they could be socially distant, their sport continued at the very height of the pandemic. So.
Wow.
People will find a way to bet on absolutely anything.
Absolutely. Set a market and you can bet on it. I'd bet on the Maryland PDGA. I bet on it. Sure.
Bet on my guy,
Danny Parkins.
Danny Parkins.
You could get him in trouble for that.
Exactly. I like Pete Rose. I only bet on my own team. I only bet on my own name.
Mm-hmm.
Long time guy for that.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Danny.
I was going to say, what the hell did you talk about today?
Today I talked about Justin Fields going into the COVID protocol and how now we could start the conversations about Justin Fields' season because it's over.
Probably is over, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you could
start talking about that. I wanted to ask Spiegs, so how do you feel about an A-Rod cast?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Man.
It broke during the show yesterday.
You know how bad that would be?
It's terrible.
As good as the Manning cast is how bad the A-Rod cast would be. I have to assume. But here's the thing. those innings would get so long. You know, you really, if you're going to do an alternate broadcast for baseball, it needs to be with incredibly smart, thoughtful, endlessly creative, conversational people. And that ain't him.
Yeah, the struggle in baseball would be you have an inning that goes haywire and you have people there. Like, I've always said that I felt like MLB Network should do that with their talent. That there should be a Sunday night broadcast with, you fill the room.
Absolutely.
With your people and have that be a way to draw people to MLB Network.
And maybe they could do that with enough guests for A-Rod, but like having him be at the center of it.
That's a problem.
Be expected to learn any of the hosting duties, even the minor hosting duties that Peyton Manning has picked up on and does, you know, awkwardly, but with a good sense of humor. I can't imagine A-Rod doing any of those comfortably.
The only thing that I can imagine with it potentially working is A-Rod is a celebrity.
Some of the people that he could draw.
Exactly. Which is part of the appeal of the Manning cast, right? It's cool. And so everyone says yes. Their guest list is the best guest list I've really ever seen for a sports show. You know, it's remarkable. No one says no to Peyton and Eli Manning. He doesn't have that type of popularity and reverence, but I could see Alex Rodriguez, who is a very successful businessman and is now an NBA owner and has done a podcast. You know what I mean? Like, he's met a lot of people.
Yes, he has.
In his life.
This is true.
I could potentially see A-Rod getting some people with a high Q rating into baseball. But the problem that I would see with a megacast for baseball, and I swear I don't mean this as like pejoratively as it sounds, is like the reason that the Manning cast also works is people want to watch Monday Night Football.
Agreed.
Like Sunday Night Baseball, it has been proven the people who want to watch it are the fans of the teams.
It's regional.
That are in Sunday Night Baseball. So like, are you going to splinter an already fairly small audience on a premium television night?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I mean, those questions are being asked about the Manning cast. That are the people, are they bringing in new people? Or are these people that would watch the regular cast, and they're like, oh, here's an alternative, I'll go watch that.
Right, but I guess for Monday night, I suppose that's true.
They topped out at like 1.6 mil, I think is the average. Right,
because I haven't seen the story. I've seen the story about the Manning cast numbers growing, but I guess I haven't really seen the data on is Monday Night Football's audience growing or is the Manning cast audience coming at the expense of the Levy, Riddick, Greasy broadcast. I don't know the answer to that.
And my whole thing with the Manning cast, like the novelty of the guests wore off for me pretty quickly, and maybe it's because of what we do. Like, I have to throw that in there and be like, well, you know, I don't care that much. I love it when it's those guys talking about ball. And when they're not trying to kind of, I don't know, like tap dance. And there's a lot of tap dancing that has to go on. When they've gotten, like, some hardcore stuff, Peyton's really good at it. And when he does the detail show, yeah, it's amazing, some of the stuff. But for them doing it in real time, and him and Eli's, like, their relationship, if you stripped it down where maybe one quarter is just them doing the football, and then you want to spread it out, I would like for them to play with that instead of here's an awkward interview with someone who's got a bad Zoom.
Right. They start putting the quarterback guest on in the fourth quarter, which I think has been good because then they are doing – assuming if the game is good, they are talking more hardcore football stuff when the game is at its most important.
Yeah, like that has been consistent. In quarter two or three yeah,
has been the Jon Stewart, Snoop Dogg, like celebrity pop culture guest.
I guess now that I'm thinking about the A-Rod cast a little bit more, he was way better at Fox as a studio analyst,
right,
in just conversation and talking about the game. There's some memorable stuff with him and Pete Rose.
And Frank Thomas
talking about hitting, and that was A-Rod guiding that stuff, guiding that conversation. there's an added level of artifice, and that dude doesn't need any more artifice. But there's an added level, like when you're actually doing the game, of like, I have to try to make this perfect. I have to try to make this sentence perfect and slide it right in. So maybe if he was just a little bit more relaxed and more conversational, it might actually flow better.
And I'll just use myself. Like, in, you know, I like to watch basically every nationally televised NFL game. But by the time Monday Night Football rolls around and you've watched Thursday and you've watched 10 hours on Sunday, if it isn't a good game, it can wean in your attention. I find myself watching ManningCast start to finish.
Yeah, I know you love it.
I love it because it is the chemistry of the brothers. It is hardcore football, and they get the A-list guests to be comfortable. Like, Roger Goodell was oddly
not robotic.
It was hard for me to say likable. You know, like, I couldn't even get the word out. But
Raj.
He was comfortable. Like, I thought Snoop Dogg was amazing.
But Snoop's so amazing on anything.
He is.
But there's literally no platform, whether it's been him doing the fights or him doing hockey. He's just good at this.
And Martha Stewart. Yeah. It's crazy. But you can't find a bad thing. And one more thing on Sunday Night Baseball, by the way. I had forgotten or kind of missed along the way somehow that Matt Vasgersian is out. And that's good, because he was not good and not into it and didn't work hard, as we pointed out on this show.
This guy sucks.
Oh, many, many different times. Getting Craig Kimbrell information wrong, and then a month later getting the exact same Craig Kimbrell information wrong. Remember that?
Yep.
So he's out. I don't know whether it's going to be our guy Boog Sciambi. The rumor is Carl Ravich instead. And Boog is a far better broadcaster than Carl Ravich.
As is Benetti.
As is Benetti. So Benetti rumored up for that as well. But I'm glad there's no Matt Vasgersian. So that Sunday Night Booth is going to be a very, very different kind of thing.
Yeah. They seem to, like, the Carl Ravich. Like, Carl Ravich is really good at what he does.
Yeah. He must really want to do it.
I guess.
Remember, when you've been there long enough, you can write that ticket a little bit.
You know who I've come to really enjoy as a play-by-play person?
Chris Fowler. Yeah.
I love him. And the reason that I love him is that he's good at what's become a trend among TV play-by-play people is them jumping ahead and them describing something that hasn't quite happened yet and then sometimes being wrong. Gus Johnson does this a lot. But I'm willing to forgive him because Gus is so good at bringing you the energy of the game. Fowler really allows plays to happen. And then if he needs to add something to it, he does. Their chemistry as a tandem is really, really good. But as I've been watching the college football season play out, I go, he's good at this. Like, he brings you in a way that a lot of other play-by-play people are now just trying to jump ahead to the great call instead of allowing there to be the half of a second that the viewer gets to take it in like the broadcaster gets to take it in and then reacting to it.
Yeah, he's much better than he was when he started.
Agreed.
When he started, it was pretty rough, and they threw him into the deep end with the most high-profile assignments because of what Spiegs was talking about. He had been there so long, and he was like, hey, I've basically anchored game day into being this flagship property in one of the greatest studio shows in the history of the medium.
Hey, man.
Give me the play-by-play job. And they were like, all right, I guess we kind of got to.
Don't go shorten the man on Scholastic Sports America, everybody.
That's true.
Well, he's really good at tennis. Fowler is a very, very good tennis play-by-play guy.
That was like 4:30 in the afternoon, Scholastic Sports America, you know, weekday kind of activity, and you'd get to know high school softball pitchers and all kinds of stuff. It was good, though. I used to love that show.
Yeah. Well, they've got a good thing going with those college football broadcasts now. And
McDonough's back.
Right? I mean, it's fine, but I mean, at the highest level, I mean, with Fowler and Herb Street. Specifically, like those guys, I enjoy them. I really enjoy their chemistry. I don't think that it's great that you have to fly from Miami to Los Angeles and then be like, give us some opinions about college football when you're tired. Well, the kids don't care about football.
They love it like I do.
And they don't love anything about the sport. Thanks a lot, Kirk. We appreciate that.
We talked about it a little bit yesterday on the show.
Go back to bed.
Do you think there might be something to it's actually better for draft prospects to skip the bowl games and start training for the job interview of the draft? Like, the guys who missed either the season or bowl games last year
are the top four or five rookies right
now?
Yeah,
Ja'Marr Chase, Rashawn Slater, Penei Sewell, Micah Parsons. All either missed the season or the bowl game the year before their rookie season.
I definitely need more data.
I understand that.
Like, I'd have to dig deeper before I can make a proclamation. I just think look, I'm not going to fault anyone who wants to play, but I've had a long theory of you shouldn't play football, specifically football, for free if you don't have to. And once you're Kenny Pickett and you know that you're probably going to go in the first round, you don't really have to play for free. And I can look at it from the positive of whoever his backup is or whoever the red shirt is that wasn't going to get an opportunity to play or really prepare like they were going to play, that they're going to get that opportunity. I don't begrudge anyone that says, this is me and my guys. I want to run out the tunnel one more time with my guys. Yes, it's at the Duke's Mayo Bowl, but it still gives me an opportunity to do all of that. And I'm all for anyone that says, you're supposed to use college to get a leg up on what you do professionally.
Right, that's the whole idea.
So if they say, this serves me better to hire my agent, to start getting on this workout routine, maybe to not go to class, although I prefer that they still did, I'm good with that. I'm good with it. And I don't think that it means that they love the game any more or any less than anyone else.
It definitely does. It definitely doesn't for that. It's just...
And there were guys that didn't love the game back when those guys were playing. They just kept playing half-heartedly. Or, you know, I mean, they dealt with it in different ways. We all know that, like, some people don't love it. They just do it because it's the right thing to do career-wise. By the way, DeMar DeRozan's about to appear on one of the national NBA shows. And did you see the All-Star voting so far, Lawrence, that just came out?
Isn't Kyrie Irving, like, one of the top guards or something?
DeMar's number one in the Eastern Conference by more than 600,000 votes.
Great.
Over second place. Here's your total list of NBA players who've gotten more votes than DeMar DeRozan. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, and the defending MVP, Nikola Jokic.
All of those are fair.
That's it. He's sixth among all vote-getters.
Jokic is having a historic year.
Another triple-double last night. But any thought process as to, like, man, DeMar's not getting enough respect. I'm sure the Bulls will still use it, but DeMar is getting the respect. The back-to-back buzzer beaters and just overall, that vote shocked me.
Not winning Eastern Conference Player of the Month was upsetting.
Well, one of those was January 1st, right? So
it's true.
The difference.
Yeah, and he played in only 8 games in the month. So
right, that's the COVID issues.
Yeah, the disrespect will be from the offseason and the signing.
Yeah, so they'll hold on to that.
That's what they will hold on to. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, if Bryce Young at Alabama can claim that he's been bet against his entire life, we can no longer be shocked when the multi-time All-Star.
Everyone's doubted me. Uh-huh. No one thought that. Wait, weren't you the number one high school player in the country?
Yeah, you play quarterback at Alabama and you're the top recruit.
Yeah, that means I was third in a Heisman poll.
Also with
in
Bryce
October.
Young, aren't both of your parents doctors?
He's had the deck stacked against him, man. The entire time.
Come on, man.
You feeling good about Bama, by the way, on Monday?
Me and Joe were talking about this because I feel like Bama money line is the play here. I think that they're going to win. So you're giving me 3 points too?
Yeah.
Roll damn Tide, baby.
Yeah. I mean, Bama with points is tough to ignore.
It really is.
Yeah, it's tough. And when they won the SEC championship game against Georgia.
A couple of different questions for me when it comes to this game. Number one, can Bama duplicate the type of stress that they put Stetson Bennett under? Or did Georgia really do their work in the film study and figure out how to have some pressure release valves for Stetson Bennett? Number two, Kirby Smart, I think that he is one of the best defensive minds in the sport. When he looks at what happened to them in the passing game, can he find ways to make the coverages look a little bit different so that Bryce Young isn't completely certain on where Jameson Williams is going to be? That, to me, is where this game comes down to. I'm really excited to see who learned the most from the first game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the chess match, and that we've been able to see it, right? When these SEC teams keep meeting in the SEC title game and then rematching either in the football the playoff or the title game. So, but I just come back to Bama with points.
It's hard to turn that
it's
down.
It's hard to turn
Danny.
It down because they're not outclassed by Georgia. I thought they were, but they're not. So Bama with points.
You know, I love a good college football story, or really a good sports story of somebody kind of overcoming the odds, or, you know, and it's hard to come by on those big SEC teams. Sometimes you're like, oh man, these kids are blue chip prospects. But
the kid from here,
the fifth year running back for Bama, who stuck around the entire time as Najee Harris started over him, as all these other kids started over him. And last year he could have gone pro, and he's like, you know what? I finally will get a year where I get to be the man at Alabama. That's what I've wanted the whole time. And now he's had this historically great year. He ran for 200 against Cincinnati and is finally getting his moment, and will probably be drafted higher. That's a nice story.
Who's
nice
the kid that plays for Georgia that's from here but didn't play high school football and then sent himself to a prep school? Like, that's a story. Like, that. There you have someone who the odds were stacked against you playing SEC football. Mm. And now you have a chance to win a national championship. God, I want to find his name because I'm sure his parents or his family are listening.
Yeah, I don't. Let's see.
Brian Robinson Jr., by the way, is the Alabama running back. And I was doing some digging during the playoff. I'm like, is that Brian? That's not Brian Robinson's kid. Brian Robinson, the former Bear. Brian Robinson blocked the extra point with the help of Walter Payton.
A lot of anniversaries. You've got the...
Is that today?
No, the anniversary today is...
Keith Traylor
and Cody Parkey.
That's right.
Yeah. I saw you shared the Lance Briggs reaction to the Cody Parkey double doink.
It's so great.
Absolute all-timer. But that Keith Traylor, man. That moment when Traylor's looking around desperately for anyone to lateral the ball to.
Help! Someone help me.
Please take it's this just, ball away.
We can all relate to just like,
yeah.
I can't finish this run. There's no way I'm going to finish this task. Would somebody like to do the last 8 minutes on my treadmill?
If I could just hand this off,
God.
It would be awesome.
Haven't I done enough?
Yeah. I thought this was a team game. Right.
I intercepted the ball and I ran it all the way down here. Somebody help me out, for God's sake.
Sounds like a former Bear that was a score host.
Oh, yeah, can I get a brother a phone call?
That's where they start you, overnights.
Oh, God.
That's how it happens.
Dave Wanstead on the show today, Lawrence, at 4 o'clock. We will be discussing the watchability of this Bears game with no Justin Fields. And we also...
What Bears game?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to start to think about...
I want to do the Amish know we're in a pandemic right now.
envisioning how it's going to sound on Monday or on Sunday for Matt Nagy's last press conference, we have gone back in time for some previous Bears coaches and the way that it had been handled.
This too shall pass.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun trip down memory lane.
All right, so let me clear this up. Luke Collins, number 57 from Georgia.
Okay.
Is a kid from here, but didn't play high school football, wanted to play high school football, and then enrolled himself at Birmingham Prep after high school to get noticed. And now he plays for Georgia, and he's playing for the national championship. So shout out to Luke Collins, shirt number 57.
Nice. Whew. Well done.
Got it in. Got it in. Under the wire, baby.
Under the wire.
Got it in. All right, man. That's our show. Have a good day. All right, buddy.
All right, guys. Be well. I'll talk to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only
only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.